This episode is sponsored by Arius. With nearly 100 locations and operating more than 75 local, national, and proprietary brands, Arius is bringing their signature dining experience to major North American airports such as Los Angeles, Detroit, Atlanta, Miami, Chicago, and now their newest locations in Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport. For more information on how to bring their signature experience to your airport and to your travelers, visit ariususa.com. Welcome to the Airport Experience News Podcast. I'm Ramon Lowe, the publisher of Airport Experience News. As always, please make sure to subscribe or follow us on your pod provider of choice, such as iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, or Stitcher. This way, you'll be able to access our growing library of interviews, as well as the new episodes as soon as we post them. This is episode 8 of the podcast and the continuation of my conversations with small businesses and airports. I'm actually recording this on the Monday after Small Business Saturday, so hopefully everyone was able to support their small local businesses. Anyway, here I chat with Rod Tafoya, the founder of Mission Yogurt. I've known Rod for a very long time, and if you know Rod as well as I do, then you know that he has some very strong opinions on the industry and small businesses. Anyway, here is my interview with Rod Tafoya. I'm here with Rod Tafoya, the founder of Denver-based Mission Yogurt. Rod, thanks for taking the time to speak with me.
Good. Thank you very much, Ramon. I'm happy to be here.
So I can't really imagine just how chilly it is in Denver right now compared to where I am in South Florida.
Actually, it's beautiful here. It's sunny and 32 degrees, and that's the nice thing about Denver. It's always, as long as the sun's out, it's a great day.
32. We are 86 right now.
86. Oh my God.
It's still good weather though. It's still good weather.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So, I've been speaking with many small airport businesses during the month of November. I've gotten to hear many great stories as well as unique perspectives on this very unique industry of ours. And, you know, you and I have known each other for, I'm not going to say how long, but it's been a while. But you were one of the first small businesses I actually got to speak to and got to know when I first came here to Airport Revenue News, now Airport Experience News. So knowing a bit about your story, I figured you would be an awesome fit for this episode of the podcast. So my first question is, I don't know how prevalent a story this is with other small businesses, but your background isn't exactly the starting point for how one gets into running restaurants and airports. So can you briefly just share your story and background and what brought you to airports?
Well, I went to Johns Hopkins and then I went to UCLA, had a business degree. Then I came back to Denver, worked for a defunct company by the name of Arthur Anderson and Company. And then I went to IBM and worked for them for about 10 years. And that's when, after doing the same thing year after year after year, I decided I can't do this. And, you know, it's the same thing. You're given a number. You either make your number by the end of the year and then you start over and shoot for a number again. It's like, oh my God, I can't do this for, you know, another 20 to 30 years. And there's a lot of people that do that and that's good for them. But it would just, been too much for me to do the same thing over and over again. So I decided I have to do something, you know, for myself and something unique and different. And where I was going to, even if I was making the same money or less money, it would be for myself. And that was when I decided I was going to go into the a retail restaurant business. And that came about because I picked a number and said, this is my goal. How do I make this level of income on a daily basis? And of course, then you say, well, I can't do this by myself. How do you leverage that and leverage that income in whatever way you can? It seems like it's a lot easier now because now you have the internet and people can leverage themselves across the internet. But, you know, back in those days, nobody even knew what the internet was. So so that was really the start and the advent of my business and working for myself.
You started, I believe, with a frozen yogurt shop, right? I think that's what we spoke about that before, correct?
Yes. My first entrance into a restaurant business was called Penguin's Frozen Yogurt. And they were a chain out of California. And well, the reason we picked that was relatively low barriers of entry. There was It seems like it was a lot of money then, but you know, looking back now, we're looking at all the other opportunities. It really was probably the easiest for somebody to try to get started. But you know, as you can see, all the RFPs have a certain level of experience that's necessary, a certain level of sales, a certain level of expertise, and a number of years in business. So we had to gain that experience, and that seemed like it was the easiest way to for us to gain that was investing in this sort of opportunity. And I'm not saying that that wasn't, it was difficult, and it was during that time. I worked for IBM, and I sold real estate on the weekends, and then I worked in the business at night. So one time I had, three different jobs that I was trying to shuffle myself between. So it was a little bit difficult at the time. So, but we resolved it. We had to do whatever it took to get that sort of experience to be able to compete in the RFP.
So why, you obviously started in the on the street side, but what brought you into airports? Why airports, actually?
Why airports? Well, it was sort of a family thing. My mom worked for, at the time, Frontier Airlines, the first Frontier Airlines, a long, long time ago. When they first started, she was one of the first employees, and she worked in scheduling. And I used to go to the airport, and I used to go and play around and, you know, talk to all the other business operators. And I saw that it was always busy, and it was always unique and different. And it was just an interesting place. And I was always fascinated by, you know, the aviation industry. And of course, you know, it was something that it was just fascinating, you know, airplanes and travel. And I just, you know, I would go, you know, because she worked for the airline, I was able to go and travel by myself and do different things and explore different cities and that sort of thing. So I did it, you know, for that reason. I was just drawn to the aviation industry.
So you obviously have a varied background with IBM and the former Arthur Andersen, a pretty varied experience there. So what do you think from that background experience helped you with this industry? Or actually, did you always feel like you had a bit of an entrepreneurial spirit in you?
Well, I think so. I mean, one of the things that, you know, somebody I always remember is that, you know, the ACDBE program, you know, it was set up to give people the opportunity to compete in the aviation industry. Obviously, there's a number of small businesses that are want to have a stake in this trillion-dollar industry. And, of course, we don't build airplanes, so how else are you going to do it? And that was the advent of, you know, the ACDBEs for concessions and retail and that sort of thing. So with that, as a entryway that we looked at, I looked at the airport concessions as a way to get into that huge trillion-dollar industry. And of course, now we're, you know, competing with all the big companies from Europe and so forth. And that's why the ACDBE program is so important. Beyond that, it's just, you've become so competitive, and we're lucky we're able to compete, you know, in that. I'm very thankful for that.
So this is a contract business, and as you know, contracts are much, much shorter now than probably the ones that you signed when Denver first opened. And I know you and your team are working to expand, getting to other units, just like you are in San Jose and in San Diego. You know, what are some of the obstacles to those efforts of expansion? And without being too biased or self-serving, you know, what can the industry do to have opportunities for small businesses?
Well, the thing that is a little scary, what I'm seeing now, and I'm glad that we got in it when we did, but is what I call meaningful participation. You see a number of firms that are, you know, doing anything they can, and they'll latch on to a big majority firm and say, oh, 30% of something is better than nothing, which is true, but is it really, are you going to learn the business? Are you going to take anything away from it? Are you going to capital accumulation that allows you to compete in the industries somewhere down the road? I mean, that's the big question, you know, whereas, you know, some people are of the larger companies, you know, this is just my perspective, you know, are doing it just because they, at the contract requirement, well, we have to get 30% participation, and we don't care how we get it. And if we give somebody 30%, they are welcome to have that, but they need to stay home and just collect a check. And that's not really what the program was set up to achieve. It was to allow businesses to grow and excel and become competitive, in, you know, on their own. And that's the kind of thing that I'm seeing right now. And, you know, I hope it doesn't, you know, go further down that way. There, obviously, the set-aside program has gone away, you know, because of a court thing, but it doesn't necessarily need to come down to courts or legal battle. It comes down to a commitment from the top and the airport directors on really what are they trying to achieve, and are they really interested in establishing small business and giving them the tools to be able to establish themselves, you know, for the future, rather than just to meet the FAA requirements.
So basically those doing business by mail.
Yes, absolutely. And that's not going to achieve anything. You're sure they're achieving the fulfillment of the contract, but beyond that, they're not going to grow a business or give people the tools to compete, you know, in the industry to grow and employ people in their own backyard.
But do you think, though, there are companies that want to do that? Do you think there are companies like you, when you started out, you know, many, many years ago, wanting the opportunity to get into this business, who do want to learn if you do partner up with someone who's willing to mentor? Do you think there are companies that are disinterested?
Absolutely. I mean, let me take our example. I mean, I know that, you know, we were always one that we had been approached by some of the larger companies, and we said, well, you know, we'll be happy to work with you, but we want to operate. We want to be able to, you know, run our own show and be able to, you know, compete, succeed or fail on our own. And because we can obviously learn from, you know, the big companies and see how they can compete and how they operate, what kind of departments they have set up, and, you know, learn from all the tools of the trade. And in the same way, we have a lot to offer other small businesses to do that. You know, we're not, you know, we're still an ACBV, you know, we're one of the bigger ones, I hope, but we aren't able to compete yet, you know, on our own, because the biggest thing is, you know, access to capital, and, you know, we don't have a parent company that, you know, can write a $1 billion check to, well, we don't really care if you're, how profitable you are. We're playing a monopoly game, and if we have, you know, this many stores in this airport, or if we have this brand X that's an exclusive that nobody else can have, you know, the airports will come looking for us. You know, that's not how we operate. That's not really doing anybody a service. You know, we want to grow people and grow businesses that are able to give people jobs and play a vital role in the community and make them. Or that's what, you know, what we're trying to do, and that's what we've always tried to do from the very beginning. You know, share with our employees and make sure they're healthy and they have the tools they're able to give them, you know, that they maybe want to go off and establish their own business or learn from us, or, you know, we provide a direct career path to grow with us or establish themselves as, you know, in their own business.
So where do you think that starts? Do you think that starts with the airport? Does it start with the operators? Does it start, you know, with the organizations? You know, where, or is it maybe a combination of all three?
In my mind, I think it's more of a political thing, because if you have the powers that be that have that sort of direction, you know, comes from the top. The commitment comes from the top. We're here to grow small business. We're here to establish people in the community and go from there. So once that goal is directive from the top to the airport directors or, people they decide on the RFPs, they're given that mandate to work with small business. It doesn't have to be a set aside. You can say if you have a $1 billion, $1 trillion European company versus a local business that is going to, may not have the capital to compete all at once, but they're willing to take a stab at it, which is going to be better for the community, which is going to sustain themselves. I mean, once that commitment is made, you're going to say, look at the two, you don't need to set aside. You just decide what is the better opportunity for the, for the community.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't think that the impact to the community can be had if maybe another operator, or large or small, were to come in and do the same thing? Or does it have to be, you think, from a true local operator, let's say such as yourself?
Well, I'm not saying that they can't, but if you look at what we've seen, I think it's all local and it's all small business. Obviously, we don't have a mandate to return X dollars back to our European parent. Regardless, we'd rather give the money to somebody here in the community, and it's going to make us have an established effect or. Somebody, I think it's better here rather than to say, well, you have to return a 15% back to the parent company regardless. That 15% is better spent in your local community.
Mm-hmm. So besides access to opportunity and access to capital, what other obstacles do you see are out there for small businesses such as yourself in this space?
Just the abilities to compete. It's become very, very expensive to compete with RFPs, and they've become more and more complex. Using the architectural firms that are able to make the pretty pictures and engage the people on these panels, but along with that, you might say, well, to the panel, it's not necessarily about the pretty pictures or the presentation or the slickness of the presentation. It's how. What's the return to the community? What's the return to the business and establishing themselves? I can see where a number of my peers, have teamed up with some of the larger companies, and it's going to be a long time, if it ever happens, or they're able to compete. And that's not necessarily a good thing for them unless that's what they want. I mean, I've never been in the with the idea that I wanted to buy myself a job. It sounded like it at the beginning, but it was more to establish myself as the freedom and independence to do what I want and to have the independence to think and to have a direct contribution to the community and our family and be able to call the shots. Mm-hmm. It's not just if you want to buy you can go out and open a business in a strip center. You have buy yourself a job, but that's not going to give small businesses the ability to compete and provide the return is access to capital, accumulation of capital, and to go forward.
All right. So, if all things are equal amongst all the players, large and small in this industry, what do you feel separates Mission Yogurt from the pack?
Separates Mission Yogurt. Well, I would say one of the things that separates us from everybody else is are determination and persistence. As you know, one of the obstacles we've had is in the past couple of years, I was, became ill and literally knocked me off my feet. I haven't been able to walk for a couple of years. And, during that time, everybody, we had the piranhas circling and asking, oh, are you going to step out? Do you want it? We'll buy you out, whatever. It's like, no, we're not. This is a time that we need to be strong and go forward and to look after our employees and as well as the business. We've always faced adversity in everything we've done. It's just that now we face adversity in a different form, and we have to be strong and go forward, whichever way we can. So to answer your question, I would say it's your persistence and determination and long view of things.
Well, I know you mentioned it, and I'm just going to ask, but how are you doing, by the way? How are things going?
How am I doing? Well, I'm working hard. I'm getting stronger and can hardly wait to run my first 10K. I don't know when that's going to be. In a few years, maybe. I don't know. But I just want to keep working at it. And, hopefully one of these days we'll have a breakthrough or whatever. But, I'm trying to learn how to walk again. And more than anything, determined to do so. I can hardly wait to, work alongside my employees, in the kitchen, crawling on the floors under the sink and fixing things. And that's the best part of the job. I'm not able to do that right now. I'm able to, take care of a lot of the paperwork and meetings and that sort of thing. But, the actual physical thing, crawling on a ladder and doing the work day to day is not easy. And that's probably the thing that I miss the most.
Well, you'll get there. You'll get there. So my last question for you, Ron, is, how has this industry evolved since when you first got into it? And what, I think you probably touched on a lot of this, but what's the outlook for many small companies such as yourself? Do you see it in a positive light, or is it still a little murky and cloudy?
Well, given the current administration, I don't know what's going to happen, what the direction is from the FAA and the attitude towards small business. So that's a big question mark. Maybe that will change, in the next few years if there's a change in direction. But what I might say is right now it's more competitive than ever. You have a lot of people, the big developers coming in with, if it were money is no object, then we don't care. We're going to squeeze the operator for, for whatever we can, because we have to return, this certain amount to our parent company. And, which is, fine. I'm not sure it all helps keep the industry healthy, because the aviation, the airlines want to keep the cost low so that they can be more competitive. So we just have to do a better job. And I'm hopeful that the direction from the top is, let's work with the small businesses, because they have a lot more to offer compared to short run gain from the large companies.
Excellent. Well, Rod, I know I got you in a busy period, but thank you very much for taking the time to speak with me.
Well, thank you, Ramon, and I look forward to getting back to the next one. One of my favorite cities, Las Vegas. I look forward to that and see how we can participate and work with you.
Excellent. Well, good luck, and I will see you soon.
Yeah, thanks very much, Ramon.